This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by 3010weightlossforlife.com. Lots of news happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending? The sports ball.
Apparently, there's been a rise in violence against referees in youth sports. It's happening both locally and nationally. According to Fox 13, they say the Washington Interscholastic Activities Association says over the last year, there have been 508 player and coach ejections from games, nearly double the amount of the previous 2 years. And that is important because that's usually due to, usually, though not always, but it's due to some kind of aggressive behavior towards a referee. The referee associations that are out there, they're all coming together. They're saying, hey, guys, understand that this is causing a crisis. We don't need another crisis in this country, but unfortunately, we don't have as many officials anymore who are willing to do the work.
We've been chested up. We've been, you know, shoved. We've had people come by our cars afterwards and berate us and so forth.
So weak. Just weak. No one can take criticism anymore. Back in my day.
Don't back the parents on this.
No, that's 72-year-old Peyton, you know, Coffin, and he spells his name wrong.
Yeah, no, I noticed that.
He's a veteran referee. He's speaking to Fox 13. He says, look, I have been in a whole bunch of altercations, let's just call them, over my years. One was not that long ago. I remember we covered it on the show, I want to say like 2 months ago or so. Some father out in Kenmore attacked Coffin at an eighth grade basketball game. The ref was trying to break up some sort of fight on the court, and at that point, things look to have been calmed down completely, but then the dad comes running down, slams into him.
I'm just standing there. The situation's calm now. We're done. And this man comes out of the stands.
Oh, what is
a
man?
Runs across the court, right, you know, next to the coaches, and puts his left elbow in my back hard enough to break two ribs. I slammed down the court, broken nose, fractured cheek.
Okay, now, in fairness, he is 72 years old. If you did that to a 42-year-old, probably not get the same result. Not that I'm not justifying it. I'm just saying he's wrong. He's been charged, the guy. He's awaiting trial. He'll be found guilty is my guess. And then he'll do no jail time. And by the way, in that case, it wasn't even due to a bad call.
I had my back to the bleachers. I wasn't within 5 feet of his son. He singled me out because I was wearing a striped shirt.
That's the kind of bigotry that we don't want on this planet. That's the bigotry problem. Going after referees.
Or just striped shirts in general.
Look, they
can't. No more stripes?
They can't help how they were born. And you're born a ref. It's in your blood. It's in your DNA. Which is why the Washington Officials Association is sounding the alarms. They're saying they're down 800 sports officials. Across the country, 800, or across the state, 800. And that's impacting all sorts of sports. Part of it is they're cheating a little bit with the numbers. The numbers are true, but the reason behind it is more revealing. What happened the last 2 years?
A pandemic.
Yeah, and were we allowed to do sports, or were those banned for some stupid reason?
They were banned for
all of them, including tennis.
Reason.
No tennis. Can't play tennis. And so obviously, over the course of the last 2 years, depending on the age of the person, maybe they were like, okay, I'll use this as my opportunity to call it quits. Or they had to change their work schedules around because it's not like they're doing this full time. And so maybe they just can't accommodate the games anymore. So I do think it's important to point that out.
It's getting worse. It's terrible.
That's Leslie Smith. She's the president of the Pacific Northwest Basketball Officials Association. And she has been a referee since the 90s.
Officiating is a way to stay involved in the game. And that's why a lot of people do it, is to stay involved in the game. If you're at your job and someone's yelling at you, would you want to stay doing that? And so for officials, no, they don't.
Peyton, if you were in a job where someone was constantly yelling at you, would you stay in your job?
No, I don't know if I could.
Shut up! Fix the tech issue! The dump button isn't going up automatically. Sorry, what?
I don't know if I could handle the pressure of people yelling at me during my everyday, you know, my 9-to-5.
It's all so soft. Ooh, stop assaulting me. Ooh, stop yelling at me. Oh, I can't take it anymore. I'm obviously not kidding at all. Just grow up. Stop complaining. Well, the assault goes too far. I'll give them that. But, you know, at some point, look, there is very clearly a problem with some adults, maybe a growing number. But here's Jason with glass half full rants.
Oh, okay.
We haven't heard from him in a long time.
No.
This shows an increased amount of parental passion amongst their kids' extracurricular activities. They're more involved with their kids now.
That's no.
Positive. What do you mean no? That's a positive.
No, don't.
It's not a negative.
Don't spin this that way.
I'm just saying at least they're showing up. Remember all the times of the sad stories of the kid who would go up to bat and he would look into the bleachers for his dad and his dad was nowhere to be found. You know where he was? Drunk with a floozy over at a motel somewhere. They made songs about that.
That happens often?
According to pop culture, yes. Where's dad? He's sleeping with the secretary and he skipped on his son's baseball game or his daughter's soccer game. And now dad is there. Yes, dad is physically threatening the referees and sometimes breaking their kneecaps, but at least he's there. At least he showed up. I'm not saying that that's the right way to go about showing your passion. I'm simply acknowledging said passion.
No, parents can just stay in their lane and not, you know, make an umpire's or a referee's day awful.
What if the call is truly bad? What are they supposed to do? I'm not saying assault, obviously, but they're not supposed to. They're not supposed to say anything. They're just like, oh, okay.
I mean, there's a line.
Cost us the game.
Most parents, you know, should know the line.
What's the line? Because there are some people, and I'm assuming that we can find lots of the refs who like, don't you ever criticize me? It's in front of the kids. It's inappropriate. No criticism?
No, being like, hey, Blue, that was a bad call. Instead of being like, hey, I'm going to slash your tires because that was a bad call.
First of all, you're not supposed to announce it. You just do it so you don't get caught, dummy. Don't do it, though.
Set a role model. Be a role model for the children.
Here's that 72-year-old referee's message to parents, coaches, and fans, which is a weird way to phrase it. Who's a fan of, like, I just love Little League? That's the one you better watch out for.
What? It's Matt Damon and Good Will Hunting. They just go and they watch the Little League game drunk in the stands.
That's creepy.
Let us do our job. And if you don't like a call, that's fine. But it's not a bad call. And there's a pretty good chance I had a better angle on it than you did.
Oh, okay, 72-year-old. Talk about justifying bad calls. Whoa, well, you think it's a bad call, but I don't because I'm... Actually, we're further away, and we can probably see it a little bit better than you can. And we have better perspective than you do.
I was fully on board with that guy.
That's a dumb comment.
Yeah.
You think it's a bad call? Well, let me tell you this. It wasn't.
It's okay to be angry over a bad call, but it wasn't a bad call.
Yeah, okay. Like, I'm smarter than you. But that's my point, is there are folks who go into that direction of, nope, I am above reproach. Don't say anything. Shut up. I'll call it out if it's a bad call. I'm just a fan of the game. And I'm showing up to the next game in Kenmore.
They're human. Let them make mistakes. Human error is part of the game.
Okay. Just saying, at 72 years old, maybe you're not.
No.
Okay, fine. But I mean, at some point, you should maybe retire. No, you can't. You don't have the same eyesight.
Oh, okay. You're going that. I thought you were saying, you know, maybe we should, you know, assault.
I'm saying at some point, maybe it's time to hang up the whistle.
Yeah, he never indicated what sport.
Well, he might be multiple. He went to the basketball game. He might be multiple. He's looking for a hobby. But I'm glad he's recovered. And the parent who did it should go to jail. But in Washington State, that's not going to happen. What are you, a ref? Why do you give me that look for? You do play-by-play. Let's not pretend that you're above reproach.
I enjoy officials and criticizing them in my own way.
I love it. You can't interview an official who makes a controversial... Here, write one question down on a card, and they'll... Shut up!
Yep, you get one question to a referee after a game.
It's so ridiculous. The IRS continues to be aggressive, and they are increasing the number of officers in Washington State. So don't try to take on the IRS yourself. You're not going to win that. Contact our local tax expert and advocate, Greg Nunn, at Nunn Better Tax Resolution, N-U-N-N, Nunn Better Tax Resolution. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? National.
There is two crises going on right now at once that's directly impacting working families, single mothers, single fathers, people who have a job that requires a little bit more time in the car than normal, people who own cars. So actually, it impacts most of the country, and really it's more than two crises, but two right now that are very, very serious. Number one, the gas price surge. We've talked about it. Here in Washington State, we hit the record high gas price for the state at $5.18 on average. For some of you, you're getting closer to $6. Some of you are a little bit lucky out there in Arlington where it's $4.72. But understand it's going to continue to go up because we don't have a plan to tackle the issue. So it's going to continue to get worse. But we're told it has nothing to do with Joe Biden. It has nothing to do with any policy that a Democrat is pushing. It has everything to do with Putin. And for Senator Josh Hawley, as he was talking with the Secretary of Energy, Jennifer Granholm, former governor, she's trying to make excuses for all this. And he was all like, no, I am done with that garbage.
And you can thank the activity of Vladimir Putin for invading Ukraine and pulling essentially those barrels.
With all due respect, Madam Secretary, that's utter nonsense. In January of 2021, the average gas price in my state was $2.07. 8 months later, long before Vladimir Putin invaded Ukraine, that price was up over 30%, and has been going up consistently since.
And he did a Jason Rance move. With all due respect, he said, with all due respect, then proceeded to not respect her at all. And that talking point that she uses is not deserving of respect. It is a lie. It is an absolute lie, which is why no one's falling for it. When you look at the polls, you're not seeing this surge of folks who suddenly say, actually, it is Putin's fault. Does the war play a role in this? Yeah, now it does. Yeah, absolutely. It's played a role. But he's obviously correct to point out that whether it's in Missouri or here in Washington, gas prices were going up for a very long time, dramatically. And it happened before the invasion of Ukraine. People know that that is a garbage talking point. And then, of course, you've got the baby formula shortage, which is impacting a lot of people. The FDA closed the Abbott laboratories. The FDA and the CDC did their investigation, found no link at all between the deaths of two children via bacteria and the bacteria that was found at the Abbott laboratory. None. Didn't really make a big deal about those findings. They just kind of put them out there. And Abbott wasn't allowed to reopen. Now, they're in the process of getting to that point where they can reopen. Abbott providing some 40%, a little over 40% of the baby formula in this country. Closing them down without any plan to accommodate the mothers and fathers who have to rely on baby formula. That didn't catch the attention of the Biden administration. Although we were told several times that they've been on this 24/7 since February. Did you know that? That the Biden administration has been addressing this baby formula shortage 24/7 since February?
Non-stop.
Non-stop. What did they do? They can't actually tell us. But it was non-stop 24/7 since February. So you didn't get any results in that time? Like you didn't make any progress? And you weirdly only talked about it publicly? After the Republicans held that big press conference, what was it, last Tuesday or Wednesday? Wednesday. So you didn't want to talk about all the progress you've been making. Right. Oh, okay. Is this Putin's fault too or no? Okay. And it's obviously got some real world consequences for people like Vera. She's the mother of a 4-month-old. She spoke with Fox News and said, look, I've got concerns. The next time I got to go to the store for baby formula, is it going to be there?
We just moved from breast milk to formula, so it's pretty stressful. And so we've just been trying to buy as much of the formula that he's been eating as possible, and trying not to think about what happens when that runs out.
But that's a problem, right? Because if you're buying up more than you need in the moment, it means someone who right now needs to get their first jar or bottle of baby formula, jug of baby formula, that they're not going to be able to find it because you bought four of them when you only need right now one. Liliana is the mother of an 8-month-old. She's not been able to find any formula.
But I've been to CVS, Walgreens, Target, and there's nowhere to be found.
And so some people are then turning to different online shops, going to eBay, going to Facebook Marketplace, and they're trying to find formula online. Here's Jen with a child.
I've heard, you know, prices going up, and then people auctioning it off on eBay, which is really sick. And so they're paying, you know, double and triple the amount that they would normally pay for formula.
That kid's a little fussy. Why don't you feed it? Oh, because you can't find the formula. Now, one way that we could have easily addressed this was to allow European baby formula products to come into this country. Two reasons why we don't do that, or two reasons why it doesn't happen easily. Number one, incredibly expensive for them to do that because of the tariffs. You could have gotten rid of those just temporarily, but I know that the Democrats generally don't like to get rid of anything that could be considered a tax. Number two, the real reason why you're not having baby formula in the United States from Europe, do you think it's related to safety? It's not. It's related to the packaging. That's it. Like, what's required to be on a package for European products is different than what's required to be on a package for products in this country. And you put those two issues together, it becomes too expensive to get the baby formula here. Now, they could have addressed that early on. They could have put a pause on that. They could have brought it in. And by the way, I'm not critical of that move in a general sense of having the high tariff or trying to keep the domestic supply here. I don't have a problem with that, except in the case of an emergency. And we're very clearly in an emergency to the point where that one mother of the 8-month-old Liliana, she's going on an international flight to go ahead and purchase some baby formula.
My family's from Mexico, so they're coming next week and they're bringing some formula from Mexico. If my family didn't come, I'd be very, very worried.
Well, I mean, you could go down there if your family didn't come.
Have you seen the price of flights, Jason?
Yes, it's very. Have you seen the price of not feeding your kid? Yeah, death. Or kind of worth. Or they're just fussy all the time. I've seen these stories of people trying to make their own baby formula. I'm not even sure how that works, but I saw some alerts just over the course of the last several days from, you know, experts saying, do not do this. It is not safe. Don't do that. And don't ration out the formula either. Like, water it down to make it go a little bit longer. They're not getting, the child isn't getting the nutrients that he or she needs. No sense of urgency, though, from the White House. None. This happens under Trump. What are the headlines? Donald Trump wants you to starve your baby to death. It would be the lead everywhere.
Trump hates babies.
Well, that part's actually probably true. That one I'm not going to dispute with. I don't like babies. So I'm not going to judge someone who doesn't like children. Like, I don't like them until they turn at least 33.
So they got to be like 25 years younger than you?
They are older than me at that point because I'm 28.
According to Tinder.
Yes. And my new bio online, it's 28 years old.
So you don't even like it? Well, I guess that is valid. You don't like yourself.
I hate myself. I'm very self-loathing.
Yelp, Tacoma, Bremerton, Bothell.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Redmond, Sumner, Kent.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that. 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local. Brought to you by Alpine Specialty Services. Online at alpineclean.com. This is the part of the show where we completely ignore stories coming out of Seattle and instead we focus all of our attention on the communities you live in and care about most, and we start in Kent. These are always interesting stories where a video was shared on the Nextdoor app. It's one of those apps that people who live in a community can, you know, chat with neighbors and mostly gossip. And in this case, they are gossiping because they caught a cougar trying to climb a fence in Kent on her way, presumably, to snag herself a frat boy.
A cougar in this area is like, where did it even come from?
Exactly. I expect these kinds of stories on Mercer Island or Kirkland's, kind of where the cougars tend to be.
Did you gender the cougar? Did you call the cougar?
Okay, stop. I'm not going to do this. Oh, what's a woman? I'm not doing that. That's generally speaking, and I don't want to, you know, generalize too much. Generally speaking, the women who are a little bit older, unhappy in their marriage.
Marriage?
Could you shut up for a moment, please? My God. I'm trying to get through this. They're looking for, you know, some younger men to provide for them some fun. And we're not talking like underage. Not like college age. Maybe 24, 25 years old. And obviously someone like Mark, who lives in Kent, is worried about the kids there.
If there was a cougar at nighttime, I wouldn't be able to see it. And that would just be about all around. Especially considering the amount of kids that are over there.
Yeah, they act very quick. But again, I'm not going to... He's using kids, I think, more because he's older. He's talking about like 24-year-olds. That's usually what we're talking about.
Why is he talking about 24? What?
Because that's what cougars are usually into. Yes, it is certainly true that cougars are sometimes into like 18-year-olds, right? That's and legal, by the way. But usually it's 24 to 8. You're actually the age, 26, of what a cougar might go for. I mean, not you because you're hideous, but I mean, just in a general sense, that what the cougars would go for. Andrew, another resident in Kent, is concerned for his son, Cooper.
I would be scared because Cooper has never met anything that wasn't his best friend yet.
Yeah.
And I don't think he'd discern from a cougar and, you know, like a Great Dane or something.
Yeah, he can't even tell the difference. It's kind of, he's one of those kids who, despite, he looked, I didn't actually see a photo, but I'm assuming because the way he's talking about 22 is my guess. Like, look, his son Cooper is one of those people who doesn't think he's going to get taken advantage of by an older woman, a cougar.
Sure Cooper was his son?
Okay, adopted. So I don't know what we're doing here. Am I certain? No, I didn't ask for proof that they're related. I did not do that. I'm sorry. I can only do so much with these stories. Jennifer Marstead has some advice.
You don't want to turn and run. You just want to keep an eye on that cat and slowly back away. I know that urge is pretty strong to turn and run, but that's the last thing that you want to do.
I've never heard cougars be referred to as cats. I mean, that's kind of odd. But her general advice is just like, you don't have... It's because it's an older woman who's looking for a little bit of excitement. You don't have to be rude about it. You don't have to just turn around and run away. How about their feelings? We talk about wanting to be inclusive. Well, be inclusive of the feelings of older women.
You've never heard of a cougar being called a cat?
Like no, not in this context.
They're a part of the cat family.
Okay, oh my God. You are some kind of stupid today. You are just some kind of stupid.
What's new?
And it is, Jennifer, whoever this person is talking to Cairo 7 TV, says it is rare to get a cougar in the Kent neighborhood. It's usually, again, kind of Mercer Island, Kirkland.
Whether it's from a coyote or a bobcat or a bear or a cougar. I never say never.
So I know what a bear is, a bigger gay man. I know what an otter is, which is a younger hairy man. I've not heard bobcat before. That one's new to me. I don't know what that
one. You don't know what a bobcat is?
Well, I mean, I know what the animal is, but saying I don't know what the term means when it applies to, you know, the demographics of a human.
But you're familiar with the animal, bobcat.
Well, yeah, obviously.
And she referenced a bear.
Yeah, I said, I know what, I'm telling you, I know what a bear is.
No, but...
And I know what they don't usually call them coyotes, but I know what a coyote is. It's someone who... She's not talking about the border?
No. Not a single mention of the border here.
Who is she?
Believe that she's a wildlife specialist of some sort?
The Department of Fish and Wildlife.
Yeah, that's it. That's what her agency is.
She's okay.
Talking about animals.
Okay, okay. What did we say about these kinds of stories? Making sure you put a note down saying it's about the animals, not the language we use to identify certain humans as it relates to their sexual preferences.
I assume that you would know better.
But what about all the things about keeping cougars away from young men?
Like, no, just, they said kids. Keep the cougar away from kids.
Young, yes, like to a...
Didn't say young men.
A 7-year-old cougar or a 47-year-old cougar going after some 26-year-old or a 32-year-old, that's a young kid to them. You can see how I could be confused. Who's Cooper?
Cooper, I believe, is the dog in the video, which is why he also referenced a Great Dane in that clip.
thought he was talking about Helen Mirren. Oh. Okay, this story makes a little bit more sense now. Why did we do it? I don't care then.
Well, there's a cougar in Kent.
Oh, no, there's a cougar in Kent.
Why were you doing it then if there's a woman walking around Kent?
Because I think we should alert the young men who listen to the show. We're very popular in that age demographic. 25-54, baby.
And you want to warn them instead of, like, push
them? Or
alert
them, maybe, if that's what they're into. I'm not going to judge them if you're into older women. Good for you.
If you're into, you know, the animals, stay away.
No, don't listen to this show.
There's a cougar running around.
If you are into the animals, I don't want you as a fan. I'm a hardcore pass on that. A homeless encampment in Tacoma's Hilltop neighborhood was cleared yesterday. I think it's mostly, if not completely, cleared right now. The reason why they did that was because of a high number of 911 complaints for not so serious things like gunshots and fires keep breaking out. Moderate things. Matt Driscoll thinks that this is a big problem to actually sweep the encampment. Matt Driscoll, the most mediocre columnist in the state.
I could have sworn that you liked Matt Driscoll.
No, he's the worst. He's the meatiest of the mediocre. Hashtag beat. There are about 30 people living in that encampment as of yesterday. The Homeless Engagement and Alternatives Liaison Team had been reaching out to them since around March. And they said those 30 people were offered shelter. Guess what? All 30 people, as of yesterday, said, nah, I'm good. I'm not going to go into shelter. I don't want to follow the rules. The city is now in the process of removing or completely removing all the garbage, all the debris. And part of the reason why these kinds of moves don't come easy is because you've got folks like Andre, who lives in Tacoma, speaking to Cairo 7 TV, pretending that the real problem here is a lack of affordable housing.
It sucks what's going on, and I hate to see it, but there needs to be some type of affordable living around this neighborhood so we can bring the community back. Uh-huh. The homeless epidemic right now is crazy, but, they don't have nowhere to go.
Yeah, they don't have anywhere to go. There's no housing anywhere that they can afford. I mean, haven't you ever been in a position that if they raise the rent by even $70, you will literally end up on the street? They have nowhere to go. My gosh. And here I thought there were other options. Like maybe if you legitimately can't afford to live in Tacoma, whether it's the Hilltop neighborhood or elsewhere, there are other places you can go. There are these things called surrounding areas in which you can actually find housing and live. You may not want to live there. You may not want to live in Puyallup or Federal Way, which is a little snooty, by the way, of you holding that position. But okay, that's on you. If you truly can, they make it sound like there's no drug issue whatsoever. There's no problem with mental health, nothing. It's just I can't afford the rent, so therefore I sleep outside. Does anyone actually believe that? Does Andre truly believe that? If Andre, let's say, pays $1,700 a month for rent, let's just throw that out there.
About to make a math word problem here?
I'm just saying, if he does, and then it takes him 20 minutes to travel to, how long does it take until he gets... No. If he pays $1,700 a month, and that's what he can afford, that's his limit. And they say, okay, we're raising your rent to $1,800. Is his position, I'm going to be homeless. I cannot find, and there's nowhere else you can afford to live. Could you find a two-bedroom apartment and share it? Oh, no, I did the story the other day. Those are going up, too. Yeah, I can't believe there's not just an even bigger explosion of homelessness. 1-800-465-8770 if you want to send me a text, especially all you cougars out there. 1-800-465, I'm talking about Wazoo students. 1-800-465-8770. Welcome back to the Jason Rance Show on AM 770 KTTH. Don't forget, I'm on Tucker Carlson tonight. If you can't watch it live, it's all good. We got to post it online at youtube.com/Jason Rance. Right after it's done, we post it at youtube.com/Jason Rance. For some of you, I want to bring your attention to an issue that obviously is important to the community, public safety. And on June 8th, from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., at the Marysville Opera House, there is a town hall on public safety. It'll include Sheriff Adam Fortney and Snohomish County Councilmember Sam Lowe and Nate Nearing, Nate being on the line right now. Welcome back to the show.
Hey, Jason. Thanks so much for having me on.
What was the impetus for this town hall?
So as you know, there's been a lot of issues with public safety, particularly in Washington State over the past couple of years. And, you know, there's not many issues as a local government official that keep me up at night, but our public safety crisis that we're facing is one of them. And so, you know, in conversations with our sheriff and other elected officials, we've just come to the conclusion that, you know, it's getting to a point where we really need to start doing more outreach and raising awareness and letting the public know exactly what the consequences are of some of this stuff, and also getting feedback from the public on how this is impacting them. And so that's kind of the impetus for putting this town hall event together, so we'll hopefully be able to have a good exchange of ideas.
What have you actually heard from the community beyond, you know, just the anecdotes of individual crimes occurring? Because we know that those are happening, but are they connecting the dots as to why it's happening?
I don't know that they are. I think in a lot of cases, you know, the community is certainly feeling everything that's happening, whether it's the staffing crisis that we're happening with longer response times or quality of life crimes not being, you know, taken care of in the same way that maybe they were previously, rising crime rates, or, you know, the drug stuff that we're seeing on the streets as a result of the state Supreme Court's Blake decision, the rise in fentanyl deaths. All those sorts of things I think the community is feeling, but I think it's difficult to connect the dots on it, even for me as an elected official, right? Because you have the state Supreme Court that handed down the Blake decision, so I think there's some responsibility there. You have the legislature that passed a lot of anti-police legislation a couple sessions ago.
Yep.
That's really inhibited the ability of law enforcement to do their jobs. And then just in general, it seems like, you know, it's kind of an anti-police environment that's been created in Washington State that's just made it so difficult to be a law enforcement officer here. And that's leaving to police officers leaving in droves to other states or retiring or doing career changes or whatnot. So all of that's happening at once, and it's really bubbling up, I think.
How much has that anti-police sentiment made it into Snohomish County? Traditionally, Snohomish County is certainly more red than it is blue, though you've got the pockets like in Everett that are pretty blue and not so much red.
Well, you know, a couple of years ago, when there was that big defund the police movement we saw in Minneapolis and in Seattle and several urban cities across the country, I would have thought, you know, we'll never see that in Snohomish County. But we did, in fact, during our budget process, we had a small but very vocal group that was demanding that we defund our sheriff's office entirely, that we completely cut ties with any sort of law enforcement, just sort of these bizarre demands. And so that took me by surprise. Of course, we didn't do that. We actually increased our funding for our law enforcement, which I think is good. So I think you do have that, like I said, that vocal minority. But, you know, one of the things that gave me a lot of hope was what happened after, you know, as you know, we recently had a law enforcement officer in Everett, police officer Dan Rocha, was tragically murdered in the line of duty. Mm-hmm. And at his memorial, you know, I was a part of the police vehicles that were going through the streets. And so we went through Everett, you know, all the streets in Everett, and there were, there's got to be over 1,000 people on the streets holding signs that were pro-law enforcement, nice. Waving flags. And so that was, you know, really good to see. It gave me a lot of hope. And I think it shows that deep down, our community is very pro-law enforcement, but we've got a minority of, you know, legislators and activists who are really pushing this anti-police stuff. And unfortunately, it's taken hold in our state legislature.
So again, the event is on June 8th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Marysville Opera House. Obviously, it's free. It includes not just Councilmember Nate Nearing, but also Councilmember Sam Lowe and Sheriff Adam Fortney. Did you get much support from your Democrat colleagues on this?
You know, this is something that Sam and I and Sheriff Fortney had worked on together. So it isn't a council event. It's the three of us that put it on together. You know, I really appreciate my colleagues. You know, they've been very supportive on a number of things. But this is something that we've worked on individually with Sam and Sheriff Fortney.
Beyond this event, though, have you gotten the support of the council more generally as it relates to trying to tackle some of these issues?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. I mean, like I said, when we had those defund the police activists come, we ended up as a council deciding to increase law enforcement funding. That was a split vote, but the majority did decide to do that. We also took a vote earlier this year to send a letter to Governor Inslee asking mm-hmm. that he call for a special session of the legislature to address the police pursuit bill. Pierce County did the same thing. So I think we're making some progress at the local level on some of these things, and there's some good things happening. But gee, it just feels like our hands are really tied when a lot of this stuff is up to the state level.
Absolutely, but that's why these elections are so incredibly important. How much do you think, you know, the red wave will impact the races here in Washington when, you know, at least statewide elections might end up helping the Democrats because of Roe v. Wade?
Yeah, you know, when I look at polling for what voters are most concerned with, public safety is always at the top. Public safety and inflation are the two big ones. And those ones are issues I think Republicans win on all day. You know, the majority party in Olympia has really done, a terrible job on addressing public safety needs through the session and also on taxes and inflation. And so I think Republicans win on those issues, and I think those are what the public are most concerned with. So I hope that's what we're going to see at election time.
Before we let you go, let's just switch gears briefly. I've been, you know, taking a dive, as so many others have been, into the gas prices in the state. They're going through the roof. Snohomish County is getting hit especially hard. Most of Washington is getting hit pretty hard. The governor refuses to even consider a gas tax holiday, despite having one of the highest gas taxes in the country, at a time where the entire West Coast is paying more than $5 on average for gas. What can be done that's just not being done beyond simply saying, yeah, let's give taxpayers a little bit of a break here?
Well, I think that's the first thing that should be done, is a break on gas taxes. And, you know, in the last session, the legislature had a $15 billion surplus. I believe we were one of the only states in the entire country to do nothing on tax relief. In fact, I think they went the opposite direction. I think there were some added taxes and fees. And so that's the low-hanging fruit, I think, is let's get some tax relief to hardworking Washingtonians who are struggling, you know, to pay bills and to fill up the tank. Aside from that, you know, I don't know at the state level, you know, what else they should be looking at. I think that's really the thing that we should be focusing on, is providing some tax relief.
Yeah, it's just outrageous. Now, the only good news, I suppose, in Snohomish County, even though it's a horrible situation, you know, if you go into places like Marysville or Arlington, Stanwood, it's still slightly under $5. But every day that goes by, that number continues to rise. So hopefully we see some relief. We've been talking with Snohomish County Councilmember Nate Nearing. Don't forget, June 8th at the Marysville Opera House, there's going to be a town hall event on public safety. Where can people get more information?
More information, if you look at our Snohomish County Council website, and you can contact russell.weed@snoco.org, and we can get you some more info on that.
Thank you so much for stopping by, as always.
Thanks, Jason. Appreciate it.
You're listening to The Jason Rand Show. Back with more at the top of the hour.